What's up, brothers and sisters? So today on the podcast, we got Brother Todd Allen out of Ironworkers Local 5. With that being said, I'll let Todd introduce himself. Todd, if you just kind of give us your book number, obviously what local you're from, and then just a brief bio, man, on how you got into ironwork.
How you doing? My name is Todd Allen, book number 136-7709. I'm out of Washington, D.C., Local 5. And I got into ironwork because I wanted to be the baddest motherfucker on the job site.
So just kind of you're talking about how you got into the ironworkers union. So you had there was a job on the beach. You transferred into Local 16. But like how did you find yourself actually signing up for the ironworkers?
Well, that's actually a great question. I mean, I had four jobs at one time. I had four jobs, no benefits. I had kids at a young age. You know, I was 19 when I became a parent. My wife and I have been married now for 23 years. And, I needed a job. And I met Dave, oddly enough. He had a booth set up at the county fair.
Really?
And I just happened to walk by his booth, and he showed me what they've made and what the pension was. And, man, I was hook, line, and sinker. I'll tell you what, though, on my first day out there, you know, I'm the brand new green as could be, and show up on the job site, not a tool in my pouch. And, man, they rode my ass hard for that first week. I told my wife, I said, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. And then the next week I brought the paycheck home, and she said, you're going back to work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Was it a structural job, Todd, or was it a rod job? What was it?
It was actually an ornamental job. It was
ornamental actually, job. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So.
Hell yeah. So you said you were out in the field for a little while. I mean, is that kind of the work that you got yourself into? Just kind of talking to some of the guys from Local 5, man, they do quite a bit of ornamental, like, you know, curtain wall work and sash and all that stuff. Is that kind of what you saw yourself doing?
No, not really. I mean, I actually did a lot of curtain wall, but that's not all I've done. I pride myself on being very versatile. I've worked a lot on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. I was on the redecking job, and on that job, I was part of setting the precast sections and, doing a little bit of the post tensioning. And then, I also got a chance to tie some rods, just the closure crew on, you know, tying the two decks together. And then from there, I went to the cable inspections. You know, we inspected the main cable. We wedged it, got into, how bad the cables were. From there, I went to the cable replacement, or the cable, you know, fixing the splicing all the broken strands and the dehumidification. In between.
Oh yeah, man. What's that like, Todd? I mean, that's an iconic bridge, obviously, man. And I've only obviously seen pictures and video of it, man. But what's that like to have that bridge in your backyard?
Man, it's pretty awesome. It is pretty epic.
Yeah.
The nights that we were working at the top of the tower, you know, you're putting in all this all night long, just straight getting it, you know, just busting your ass, and then right before quitting time, the sun will come up, and it's a pretty cool, it's pretty epic. I ain't gonna lie, it's pretty.
So some of us who aren't familiar with that area, where is that bridge? Like, what is that bridge cross, or what is that?
Up 50 goes all the way across the United States. It starts, well, I guess it starts or ends in Ocean City and goes all the way to, I believe it's Sacramento.
Okay.
But it's Route 50. It's right outside Annapolis, probably about 20 minutes from Baltimore, 20 minutes from DC. So it's in the DC Baltimore metro area.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And then talking to led me to talking to Brother Johnny Parker and stuff, and he talked about working on the Roosevelt Bridge. Did you get a chance to work on that?
No, I didn't. American Bridge redo the Woodrow Wilson, but
Woodrow Wilson Bridge. That's what it is, Todd.
Yeah. At the time, American Bridge also had the redecking job on.
Okay.
I was on the Bay Bridge.
Hell yeah. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, so you've worked for American Bridge. So, I mean, are they, I mean, obviously I'm kind of more familiar with how they were back in the, you know, the early days of American Bridge. What are they like to work for, you know, more modern times?
Man, it's the best company I ever worked for.
Really?
I'm wearing a Kiewit shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, American Bridge is really, they got their shit together, man. I'll tell you right now, they like, you show up on the job and they have a whole Connex filled with old ass spud wrenches just in case somebody doesn't have spuds. They really do. They're the most organized and effective company I ever worked for.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
Privilege.
That goes down the line too. Todd, just talking to some of the older guys, man. Some of the ways that they built some of those bridges.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How they like, you know, you built bents on a dock somewhere else and then you floated up the river on a barge. You have this big massive section of bridge, dude, just floating. Like, how you figured how that's gonna work floating up a river, man, is just beyond me. You know what I mean?
And the fact that they use so many iron workers, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And they recognize talent. You know what I mean? It was I feel privileged to be able to work for them before in my career.
Hell yeah. So just kind of moving on to like the apprenticeship side, Todd. So what made you decide to do that, or how did that opportunity come about?
When I was an apprentice, I did the competition.
Yeah.
Didn't win, unfortunately. But it was a major part of my career, you know, just practicing for the competition and learning everything. One of the best parts of my apprenticeship, I think you said it on one of your podcasts before, was it was at lunchtime, just listening to the old timers, you know what I mean? Just listening to their stories, or they would throw you a rope and be like, tie this knot. And if you could tie this knot, I'll give you $5, or, you know what I mean? And there was not, everybody's looking at their phone or everybody's looking at some TikTok video. Everybody was conversing and talking about how it used to be. And that was one of the things that I missed. Well, when I became a journeyman, unfortunately, Local 16 went under receivership, and we didn't have teachers. And I just got my book and I concocted this plan. I said, well, you know, if I become a teacher, I'll be relevant. You know what I mean? People definitely know who I am. So I'm going to start teaching. And that's what I did. I fell in love with it, man. I really did. I really do like teaching. I like new ways to find, like, to teach old lessons, if you know what I mean. So
100%, man. And I guess I never asked you either, Todd, what year do you teach? Do you teach all years, or are you specific? Yeah,
the only class I haven't really taught, I help from time to time with people in the welding shop, but I don't teach welding. We have two fantastic CWIs that work right out of our apprenticeship. And, you know, they have that completely under control, but, you know, I'll get in there and teach whatever, you know. I teach reinforcing, blueprints, trade, and ornamental are my four main subjects, but I've also teach the rigor review and structural and things of that nature. So
hell yeah, man. And you know, for those who follow you on Instagram, man, you do an awesome job. I commend you on that, man. You're really putting out that content, showing what it's like. And just getting into that, Todd, like the Local 5's training center is just, I haven't seen anything like that, man. I mean, here at Local 29, we got an amazing training center, but obviously you guys have everything, man. Just watching the stuff that you do, from ornamental to tying up a wall to, you know, hanging up a tree, you know what I mean? Dude, it's awesome.
We've put a lot of thought into every one of our mock-ups. And our apprentice director, Gary Armstrong, man, he's a whiz when it comes to finding grants. You know what I mean? And he kind of sets us on the path, and he gives us the freedom to come up with how we're going to teach the class, and we go from there. I mean, every one of our mock-ups, we put a lot of thought into every one of them. So we want to make sure that our apprenticeship is more hands-on than it is in the classroom. So
can you kind of just walk us through your day? So you guys get into class, do a little bit of book work, then you guys are out in the shop, or like, how do you divide your time, or how do you get your class taught?
It depends on what class it really depends on what class I'm teaching at the time. Yeah. For example, when it comes to blueprints, we teach the math blueprints and layout all in one class. And in the morning time, you know, when everybody's real tired, that's when I get right into math. You know what I mean? I treat it almost like a regular day at a college, where they'll take a class in the morning and then another class in the afternoon and then the final class in the evening.
Gotcha.
But I do know that after lunch, iron workers kind of lose interest in book work. So I try to always make sure that I'm in the shop towards the end of the day. So,
So how does your guys' apprenticeship work, Todd? I mean, so here we go. Our apprentices go for 1 month out of the year. They get laid off and then they go to school just to kind of get it all done at once. Do you guys go during the week or do you guys go once a month?
Yeah, we go during the week. We do 2 week blocks, and it's kind of intriguing how we came up with this system. We do 2 week blocks, but we raised our amount that we contribute to our apprenticeship, and we actually pay our apprentices $100 a day to come to school to help subsidize their income while they're in school.
Oh yeah,
one of the very few apprenticeships I know of in the Baltimore, D.C. area that do that. But it really helps. It really does help with them knowing that they're going to get a $500 stipend check at the end of the week. So,
oh, yeah.
But they come in at 6, and we go from 6 to 2:30, and they have homework every night. And, you know, there's different projects that they may, you know, if you're not finished with your project, you may have to stay late. If you're working with your partner and you guys got to finish it, or you could turn it in and fail. I mean,
yeah,
it's like regular school. I mean, we really do treat it like it's actual college.
Hell yeah, man. And so like one of the trainings that just being a part of the iron workers, I mean, is the offshore wind, Todd. And so like, I reached out, I saw you post a video not too long ago of like rope, repelling it with ropes and safety systems with ropes and stuff. And so I thought that was part of like the offshore wind, but are you guys training for that, or how does that going, and what's it like to even do that work?
We are actually. And I couldn't tell you what it's like to do that work, 'cause I've never done it.
Okay.
But we do have, Alex Barham and, Randy Gardner are our wind technician, instructors. They are fully qualified through the GWO, which is a global wind organization. They're kind of like the governing body all over the world. It's a nonprofit organization made up of wind turbine developers and installers, and they kind of set forth what the safety standards are for offshore wind turbines. And that's kind of like their department. They're in charge of our wind program. Me and Miguel's my partner over there. He teaches one apprenticeship class. I teach the other apprenticeship class. So, and one of the things that we stress on between the two of us is making sure that not only do they know how to do it right, but why they have to do it right. So, yeah. So when they get to the opportunity to take, say, Randy or Alex's class with the wind turbines, there's no mistake. You know, they deserve to be there because they worked to get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And that should be, you know, any positions like that should be that way, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So with that being said, Todd, kind of, you know, last night you posted something, you're at a rally, man, and just, you were speaking up on, you know, prevailing wage issues and stuff. And we kind of talked about that before we got on here, man. But, I think that's pretty prevalent. Prevailing wage fraud is pretty prevalent throughout the country. And just talking to some of the organizers in your area, man, I know it's really bad in your area. So kind of, can you kind of talk about like how you guys deal with that stuff out in DC?
Man, you know, it is actually very bad. We have a lot of companies in this area that they try to 1099 their employees, and and give them this spiel about how, you know, they're going to be their own company and they're going to own their own business and everything. But it's a complete lie. And for whatever reason, it's legal, you know, by 1099 somebody, you're not paying the proper benefits or the proper insurances on that person. So if something was to happen, it's all on that person because they're their own company.
Yeah.
We have two fantastic organizers, AJ and Ryan, that really get out there. And we also have Carlos too, that really get out there. And, they kind of, I hate to sound like an old 90s, but they kind of rock the vote. You know what I mean? They really, really don't, you know, they let themselves be known and they remain approachable to unrepresented members and they keep open minds when they talk to people and they do a hell of a job. And how I can help is, you know, I just try to, when I make my videos, you know, the thing behind my videos is I wanted to, you know, all of our union needs to grow. It doesn't matter where you're at. Every local needs to grow, you know, we need to grow not as in it's like a bad thing, but we need to grow because people are, you know, like you said earlier, the two generations of people have grown up without really knowing what unions are about. And I just want to advocate for our programs and make sure that I point people in the right direction of where they can go. You know, I have people that reach out to me from all over the country and they say, hey, I live in this area. So I'll contact that local and find out what they have to do to maybe get into their apprenticeship. Or I had one guy, he sent me pay stubs from his old job. And he was like, I tie rods, get me in. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, I'm in Venezuela.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I know.
But, you know, I try to, you know, that's how I try to help is just, you know, point people in the right direction and be an advocate for organized labor all across the board.
So with that being said, Todd, so like, I mean, you know, just kind of, I'm sure you follow like people on Instagram and I hate even saying this, like, but there are these people out there that are influencers and they're iron workers. But like, what I see is like, I don't see a lot of promoting of like the union, man, like your union card is giving you everything and everything you got is because of that card, right? And paying union dues and stuff. And like, I've actually talked to people that said there's good non-union and there's, you know, trying to tell me that there's good things with both and bad things with both. And I mean, obviously some of that is true, but I would beg to argue that, I've never really found anything good about the non-union side. You know what I mean? So can we kind of talk about that? Like, what's it mean to you to be a union iron worker and to be a dues paying member?
Oh man, it means the world to me. You know, my wife likes to joke and say that I'm married to the union before her, but I mean, it really, you know, before I got in, we struggled. We really did. I just didn't make enough money. I remember when one winter it was so cold, we couldn't fill the oil up. So we were leaving our, you know, I had 3-year-olds and I was leaving my stove open to try and heat the house and I just wasn't making any money. And I immediately saw a difference when I got in the union, but not only that, the camaraderie, you know, the way that we look out for each other, the way that we treat each other. I mean, you could see an iron worker in an airport, you know, on the other side of the country and he'll be like, what's up, brother? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It really means the world to me, you know, and that's one of the things that I like to advocate because, you know, there are all these non-union lobbyists that have spent thousands of dollars, like talking bad about unions and our members, you know, some of them will believe it, you know, and vice versa. You have some non-union members or unrepresented members that are just looking for their chance to get in. And I just want people to make their own educated guess or educated decision rather. I try to show our union in such a great light that people want to join, but to say that I'm going to promise you that it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows, that's a lie. Life isn't like that. You know what I mean? I can tell you it's a better life. that much.
Well, like, I mean, I guess one of the arguments, like when I'm talking to an unrepresented worker, Todd, is that, you know, there are lums in the union side and there's lums in the non-union side. That is just a universal truth, man. And that's a universal law, dude. It's on both sides. So you can't tell me it's just how you pay union dues, so you're a lazy fuck, right? That's none true. And it's just like the saying, if you're a hand, you're never out of work. It doesn't matter if you're non-union or union, dude. If you're a hand, you're working. It doesn't matter. Bro, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's true. That's 100% true. And I like to stress that to the apprentices. You know, it's our job to get you the job. It's your job to keep the job.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's a dog eat dog world. And when you go out to take a job, you know, first off, I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you're from, what heritage you have, what gender you are. Can you show up on time and can you turn a wrench? That's what matters, because what it boils down to is we're all just numbers. You know, we're all just here to make a paycheck. And when it comes to out in the field, you know, you're right. You got some guys that you look at and you're like, man, you make the same money as me. You know what I mean? But then I've been on jobs where I've watched some non-union guys like, man, why are you there? Why aren't you here? You know what I mean? And, but a lot of the times I try to stress to the apprentices is that, you know, you're competing every day. You know, it's all a competition. You know, we're all competing. There's only so many jobs that can go around, and we're all hungry, but we always look out for each other in the long run, where you don't have that on the non-union side. Like, the power of collective bargaining is so powerful that, you know, we can get health benefits, we can get retirement, we can get vacation pay, you know, and then to add on top of that, to, you know, come to a union meeting and hang out with everybody that's going through the same shit that you're going through. And you can, you know, it means everything to me. It is my life. So.
Yeah, man. And like some of the other part of it too, I'm sure you've talked to AJ and Ryan about this, man, is that, well, they're hustling on the job that they're on, man, because they know they can be replaced by lunch. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just like, and then you're out looking for another job again. And then on top of that, they're always trying to hustle for that prevailing wage job. Cause obviously everybody I've ever talked to, their pay goes down once they leave that prevailing wage job. Right. And so they hustle and they fight to get on those jobs, not knowing that they can have prevailing wage the entire time. Right. It's just
every job.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It really doesn't. It doesn't make sense. You know, and another thing too, is when they're out there and they're working, it's like there's no safety. When somebody asks about glasses, it's like, oh, why are you being a wussy or whatever. Yeah. And, you know,
yep.
There's no sense of like the safety culture. And one of the things that about unions is we drove the safety. I mean, you know, I love all the old videos. I really do. But that was another error.
That's not reality. That's not our reality.
It isn't. And we have to come to terms with that. You know, one of the things that I get a lot of messages. I get a lot of hate mail, believe it or not. And it usually pertains to the hard hats. And I want to remind everybody, I'm in Washington, D.C. It's our nation's capital. And OSHA is part of Department of Labor. And even if they haven't made that a set rule, a lot of our contractors already have.
Yeah.
So to put it in context, you know, there's four or five OSHA investigators in the whole state of Wyoming. There's like about 850 in D.C. And D.C. is only about 10 square miles. So
yeah, holy, yeah.
They're going to lunch and they're just looking at the job sites, and our contractors know that.
Yeah. So
that's one of the reasons why we switched the hard hats. I mean, trust me, I don't like the new hard hat.
I mean, we're fighting it. I mean, it's just like, it's so the only thing, like I talked to the old timers, right? It's like when the harnesses came in, we're talking about safety, man, they bitched and moaned and but that's just what it is. That was, we had to bring our insurance rates down to work and be competitive, right? We had to.
Yep.
It's just that same. It's like if you give an iron worker another rule, man, he's just gonna fight, and it's like a little 2-year old, man. They're just gonna fight and bitch and moan and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And to me, that's not something to draw a line in the sand and put a big argument up. I want to make sure that, you know, we have things like, you know, an established set break time, or we have clean washrooms to wash our hands. I mean, I've seen some of these, like on some of these jobs where, you know, these guys will go first off, they still have the old school igloo drink coolers, and they're washing their hands in the drink cooler and then making a drink right out of it. You know what I mean? Thinking that's drinking water.
That's just a few horror stories. You know what I mean? And so we were talking about safety. I've talked to so many people that, like, they get their safety harnesses off Craigslist, right? Not knowing what the hell they're getting, man. They bought it was $200. So just a substantial amount less of what they would go pay from a Sala or whatever it is. You know what I mean? But they get off Craigslist, not knowing if somebody's fallen into it or what, man. And they're working all day long in this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're not getting the proper training on how to wear it. You know, they're walking around with their D-ring down at their ass and I'm wearing a harness. I'm like, yeah, but you're not wearing it right. It's still going to hurt you when you fall. So that's one of the things that we did with our fall protection course. We created a fall protection course where they have to, they tie two different types of horizontal lifelines. Then they also have to do a vertical lifeline. And then we also have them step off a ladder while they're tied off on the vertical lifeline, so they can do the foot wrap, like if they were to fall off a swing stage or something. Okay. They also do they also have to set up a ladder and walk across a beam and put positioning hooks up and climb up and get comfortable. I call that trusting the hook, where you tie your positioning hook onto the buried bar and let go. And so that way you can trust your equipment. And after that, we do a simulated rescue where one person will climb over the side, and then our guys will get the rescue equipment, and they gotta rescue that person. Usually, fastest group I'll buy pizza for. So,
hell yeah, man, that's awesome, dude. No, like I said, Todd, man, I think you're doing awesome, man. I love your videos. I love watching them every day and sharing them. I wish our apprenticeship and stuff would get a little bit more work wise on that, but hey, man, you got to do what you got to do. But with that being said, brother, kind of like, you know, just kind of winding it down. You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, man, looking back on your career when you were working and stuff, man, what's one thing that you would have changed from what you know now to compared to what you knew then? You know what I mean? What's one thing you would have done differently once you became a journeyman?
Once I became a journeyman, huh? You know, there's been a few times where keeping it real went wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a couple jobs where I drug up because of my mouth said things that I wasn't. It probably wasn't the smartest thing to say at that time. So,
yeah. Probably, so like, just watching what you're saying. Obviously, you got to know your audience, right? And choose your battles. You know what I mean?
That is true. That is true. I loved American Bridge, but you know they're going to lay us off before Christmas, and I said, oh, you're going to lay me off? I'm going to go find another job. They said, no, you're not. I said, watch me. So I went and found another job for a lot less money in another.
Yeah. Probably jersey. Further away from home too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I called them back trying to get my job back. Job's taken. Sorry about your luck, man.
Yeah. Yep. Go figure, right? Go figure.
So I'd probably take that back.
Hell yeah, man.
If anybody from America Bridge is listening, I'm sorry. Todd Allen, 136-7709 is sorry.
Oh yeah. No, that's awesome, man. And then kind of just lastly, man, just kind of what can we see from you and the apprenticeship here in the future? And then lastly, Todd, man, what would you tell to somebody who's on the fence about joining the Iron Workers?
Well, from the apprenticeship, hopefully, we have our competition coming up pretty soon. And hopefully one of my guys is going to be heading out to Chicago if they, given they win the district council level. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
But as far as somebody that wants to sign up, man, this is the best decision you'll ever make. You know, I sit here and talk to people all the time about why to sign up. And right now I'm drawing a blank as far as like what's best about it, because it's all great. You know what I mean? The camaraderie, the pension, the healthcare, the training, the experience, the places you'll go, the ability to travel anywhere in the country, the fact that you'll know somebody in the other side of the country and they'll talk to you about setting iron, and you may have never even talked to that person before in your life. It's all worth it. Sign up. Man. And if you're in the DC area, second Monday of every month, we have open enrollments. Practice your fractions. We have a written test.
Hell yeah, man. And last thing I want to say, Todd, man, I love that you're like incorporating, like bringing in some of these iron workers who are, you know, entrepreneurs and like giving away their stuff. And, you know, it's like a competition thing, man. So you're giving away iron worker gear, dude. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. There's three companies in particular. Four, the Iron Worker Federal Credit Union really hooked me up with a big swag bag. I recently became a member with them, and they just been so great, so helpful. Then there's also ironworkermoney.com. He sent me a bunch of bolt bags, and you know, I hand them out to the apprentices, and same thing with abovetherest.com. They sent me a bunch of stuff for my apprentices. But there's also Elite Christie Leather. He's out of Seattle, 86.
Yeah.
His dad, you may want to reach out to his dad, because he used to make scabbers and holders and stuff and sold them all over the Pacific Northwest. And man, I'll tell you, it's some high quality scabbers.
Hell yeah, brother. So like with that being said too, Todd, man, I'm trying to get my packages together, and I'm going to get you guys, I'm going to get some hoodies made up and stuff like that and get them out to you guys. Just, you know what I mean? Cause I think that's my next move, man. But, I want to just say, I appreciate your time, and, you know, I know it's late out there, and, taking time away from your family, but man, I do appreciate you getting on here, Todd, and hopefully we can get you back on and just kind of bullshit again, man.
I would love to. All right.
Hell yeah, brother. With that being said, brothers and sisters, be safe.